good to be here. I love this ministry. I really do. I think it's so special. I think it's just one of those, it's different. I've done Thursday morning, I've done Bible studies. Renewed Women is just special. And I love my little ladies that we got going on. Some of my ladies, I feel really bad they're not here tonight. And so I spaced and I forgot to remind some of them. And one of them has gone on vacation. So yeah. So I was feeling not anxious, Virginia, about anything until I did that. I went, Okay, so anyways, we'll just pretend I'm just going to keep on going. But are you guys all excited for the holidays? It seems like the holidays are so close, right around the corner, and between baking and getting your house ready maybe for some guests, it can be really crazy, right? Exhausting. I think sometimes we can get really overwhelmed with what we got going on. Maybe you're lacking motivation this year for the holidays. Maybe things are different for you and things you're just not feeling maybe so festive. Do you ever get distracted by chance when you're on your email, checking your emails or Facebook? I know like sometimes when you get on there, you can kind of really get sidetracked. And before you know it, you spent some hours doing that. Maybe it's holiday shopping right now. If any of you guys do online shopping, like, you know, you're an Amazon Prime person, and you're trying to find that perfect gift, and you spent 2 or 3 hours and you still can't find that perfect gift. I know I've done that before. I look at our technology nowadays, and it's kind of crazy. Don't you think we should be, like, a lot more organized than we are? I mean, think of the tools that we have readily available, like compared to, you know, 10 years ago. How many of you guys have a smartphone? Because I have a smartphone, too. How many times a day do you think you check your smartphone? A study was done by an annual internet trend and found that the average user checks their phone, wait for it, 150 times a day. And I'm sure none of you guys are doing that. They took that trend somewhere else. But the same... The same study was taken that 79% of people sleep with their smartphones next to them, and it's the very first thing they do when they wake up in the morning. They check their phone. And I don't think they're using it for their alarm. I mean, I know some people do. let's just take a tiny little bit, a look at, like, our social media. We have Instagram, we have, Snapchat, Twitter, Facebook. I'm probably going to remember. I forget some of these because there's so many. But I think you can really struggle. I can personally, how much time I spend kind of on there. Between like reading something that's really, it could be educational, it could be encouraging. We could be looking at somebody's pictures on Instagram. We could be socializing with each other back and forth on Facebook. Or we could just be plain stalking people. That takes time. here's the thing. I don't want to just bash social media, but I mean, it's a real thing, and I think it's very resourceful. I think it's really great. It can be such a blessing. We can keep up to date with family members. We can I can't remember what we can do. We can encourage people. We can even use it as a ministry. I know that. There's so many people do that, and I don't want to just bash it. But the pace that the world is creating these things also can be something that can rob us from doing what God has in store for us. Don't you think we live in a world that we want what we want when we want it? I know a lot of times I do. Sometimes if we aren't careful, looking to God's provision over our daily schedules, it gives the enemy an opportunity to take advantage of our time. And don't you think sometimes maybe our busyness, we can be really busy doing things, could be even an excuse for laziness. I mean, I'm sure probably not now after Yolanda did excuses in October, but I'm just saying, perhaps past that. Or just not, we're just put off what we should be doing. You know, in my own life, it's so easy to justify why I'm not doing something that I should do, because I get busy with my daily tasks and all the little things at hand. Doing what needs to be done when it needs to be done requires self-control. Self-control is a restraint exercised over one's impulses, emotions, and desires. It's the ability to say no to ourselves. When the Bible calls Christians to self-control, it's not a command just to simply exercise your willpower. is biblical self-control. It's a work of God's grace through the Holy Spirit. It's a key element to our character as we're building our character. Luke 9:23, Jesus says, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." This verse implies that daily we have desires that should be denied or controlled. Remember what our verse was in October that Yolanda gave us, Titus 2:11-14, where God's grace gives us the ability to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live a self-controlled and upright godly life in this present age. We're in that present age right now. I think the irony of speaking on self-control is something, of course, I struggle with, and I continue to grow in God's grace. I think when any of us that get up here, we get to speak, it is just an honor to get up here and share God's word. But I think it's so convicting on us that get to go through and study a specific topic. Heavens to Betsy. I mean, like, I'm thinking I can't make excuses and I can't be anxious and I need to look to God for my self-control for this. So, I mean, it was like, I think they planned it. But anyways, Galatians 5:16 says, "Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." The idea behind this phrase is that we walk by the Spirit. It is that no matter what's happening around us, we just keep walking step by step by step, being led by God. Picture like a little baby, like a one-year-old that's just starting to walk, and the parent's holding on to them, and they're making their first step and their second step, and they let go, and the parent's right there to pick them up and help them do it over again. They're being led. They're being watched over. If any of you guys have had little ones or been in a parking lot with a little one, you first need to make sure that you are going to protect that child and guide them, and most importantly, keep them safe from harm. I feel like that's what God is saying every day to me. Do you want me to hold your hand, Lene? Or are you going to run through that parking lot? And yes, so many times I run because I think I knew better, or I didn't see God in the situation, or I took control and ran. Do you remember the commercial, the pull-up commercial where it says, "I'm a big kid now"? Well, I think that's a lot of times what we're saying. We want to be in control. We want to be the big girl now. And we don't want anybody else to tell us what to do. We want to cross our arms and say, "You're not the boss of me." I think trying to understand that our flesh desires to sin against God, but our new nature is empowered by the Holy Spirit and the desire to be faithful to God. We sin. I mean, that shouldn't surprise any of us. But even at that, we need to fight that desire of the flesh. Just feeling like bad sometimes and we do something over and over and we kind of feel bad or we feel guilty doesn't tolerate it. We can't tolerate that. And sometimes it's easy to justify. Wayne Grudem wrote, "Repentance is a heartfelt sorrow for sin, a renouncing of it, and a sincere commitment to forsake it and walk obedient to Christ." I really liked how he worded repentance, because that's it. It's like that whole put off and be renewed. And like what Ephesians 4:22 and 24 says, when we had the put offs and put ons, and it's take away the old nature and be renewed by God's word and put on like a trait of like a God-honoring trait. Will you please open your Bibles to 2 Peter 1:5 through 7? And I'll go ahead and read what this verse says. "For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love." So Peter's saying we need to grow in our faith. Be diligent. Let's be faithful because Christ is so faithful to us. By God's grace, press towards self-control and steadfastness. And he ends with love. Love one another. These are character qualities that we all should pursue and build on one after the other. It's like, look at the order how it is. It's starting with faith and ending in love. Galatians promises that self-control will be the fruit that life bears as a result of the Spirit, the Spirit's work in us. Think of the things all around us that allure us. What if I were to ask you to write a list of priorities? What would you put on that list? I know for me, I'd love to say, well, my relationship with the Lord, my husband, my children, my church. But if I was really honest with my actions, my actions don't always show that and reflect that. My intentions are very good, but my intentions don't always get me very far. 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, "Do you know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever." So Paul compares our self-discipline, self-control to a Christian living with an athlete back in the ancient times and their Olympic things that they used to have, their games, I guess. The athlete set a goal and then works really hard to reach the goal. Remember what self-discipline or self-control is. It's going against your feelings for a higher goal. The athlete wants to win, so he goes into like this strict diet. He controls everything that he's doing. He works really hard, and even when he doesn't feel like it, so he can get that prize that Paul's talking about. It's an ongoing process, and it's not a quick fix. Like athletes in training, we must exercise self-control and restraint, living with a specific goal in mind. Our goal is just different. Our goal needs to have eternal mindset. So is our faith a little bit like out of shape? Are we enduring God's provision over our lives? Are we putting our trust in Him and admitting that we don't know what's best for our lives? He does. We complain, we get upset, we can even justify something. But if we really look at our day, it would probably reveal a lot about us and how we prioritize our lives. I think we're really honest with ourselves. We just like to be in control or have control. And that's what the enemy wants us to do. He wants us to rely on ourselves and not depend on the Word of God. And here's the thing. Lots of times, I think that kind of thing stems from pride. So here's a couple questions for you. What are the things that I'm tempted to do instead of what I should be doing? Where do I need greater self-control? What do I fill my time with that crowds out more important things that have eternal value? Or maybe, where do I need to give up some control? These are really tough questions. I know, because I know I struggle with self-control, and I know just talking to so many women, a lot of women felt like priorities and time management and the trickling effects of how our emotions can lead us from that can really affect us. We can look at our emotions, we can let our emotions guide our day when we don't have control over them, like my mouth. It usually will end badly. We make a mess of things. We juggle a lot of demands and responsibilities. Most of us work. You can work outside the home. You can have little kids. You manage your household. You take care of your family. You serve at the church. And some of you are doing it completely by yourself. Don't you think we even have a tendency to judge others and say, well, at least I'm doing it better than so-and-so? Have you ever done that? Have you ever heard someone say, well, that's just the way I am? Almost implying that we're not responsible for our actions. And we can't be okay with that because our God is so much bigger. He doesn't want us to be complacent. God wants us to grow in His grace for His glory. I think sometimes we can pride ourselves in doing something really well or even a couple things really well and not even realizing that in other areas of our lives, we display such lack of control. You might think this sounds like a lot like legalism, but it's not if your motives are right. If your motives are pure and you have a desire to grow in God's grace and know that it's the Holy Spirit in us, I think this is the biggest difference between self-control and willpower. We all have willpower, but God gets the praise and glory, and it's the Holy Spirit's work in us. Do you think in our busyness and our busy schedules and our busy life, do you think that God, who never changes and is always the same, is waiting for us maybe just to be still for a change? To be still and know that I am here? Spending some time with Him in His Word or in prayer. I want you to see the difference between willpower and lasting self-control. Biblical self-control is a power greater than ourselves. It is produced by the Holy Spirit. not just be restraining ourselves and trying to live a life self-controlled. The Holy Spirit grants us the grace to exercise self-control, enabling us to accomplish what He has for our lives. It's a big difference, because think of how many times, you know, you could put your mind to it and say, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that, and we can do it, and we can pride ourselves and pat ourselves on the back. But all it is just our willpower. It's just us, you know, going, we can do this. We can do this on our own. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for the Spirit that God has given us does not make us timid. Instead, His Spirit fills us with power, love, and self-control. So check this out. Paul wrote that to Timothy when he was in prison. And I'm sure, can you imagine how he felt? But Paul was more concerned about encouraging Timothy and the church and his believers about this verse, knowing that he probably didn't have very much time here on earth left. I think that's really cool. I think like he wasn't focused on himself or anything. He was so focused on being an encourager to Timothy while he was in prison. 2 Corinthians 3:5 says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to account anything as from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. John 15:5 says, Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So in your own willpower, we cannot do anything pleasing to God. Only by God's enabling grace can we exercise self-control in our ongoing war against sin. As the Holy Spirit in us, God is so faithful. When we are seeking Him, He will give us the tools to live a life that glorifies Him, His Word. Proverbs 25:28 says, like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. So back in ancient times, they built these ginormous walls, really high. They put guards around them to protect their people. So this verse makes it clear that a person without self-control is like a city without solid walls. It's only a matter of time before our enemy is going to come along and invade. A person without self-control is vulnerable, defenseless, and unsafe. Anytime you could be blindsided with your own impulses and desires and really just rob us from time to do what's important. Do you think so many ways we think of so many ways we waste our time away from spending it in God's Word, in prayer, maybe in a Bible study, maybe even a ministry? I think fortunately most of us, and I know I have, our walls got broken down. Think about how that looks for you in your life. Remember, that enemy wants nothing more than to distract you and help you live a life with broken walls. Maybe if you look at your life, maybe it's just that you have a 4-foot wall around your little area, your city. And they're just, you know, you can climb over at any time. You're not really worried about the enemy. Maybe you have too many gates that are wide open. You got these beautiful gates and they're just wide open saying, come on in. Maybe you don't have enough guards around your emotions. I'm only saying this to be truly honest because I know it's been true in my life. Matthew 16:24 says, Jesus tells his disciples, if anyone come after him, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Well, that's a thought, denying ourselves, isn't it? Because that's not exactly what the world tells us. We live in such a self-consumed world. I think us as women, a lot of times, I won't say it's a gift, but it's something that we're really good at, is being led by our emotions. And how many times do we allow our circumstances to lead our emotions? How many times have we let our emotions control us? Maybe perhaps it's like the time of the month. Maybe it's menopause. Maybe it's a chronic illness that you keep you're struggling with and you're battling. Maybe it's our financial situation. Family situation. It could even be that you're upset about the size of jeans you're wearing in the month of December during the holiday season. I mean, we can allow our anger, anxiety, and our stress, whatever it may be, to control our emotions, and it usually turns out bad. Lots of times our emotions can reveal our heart when we aren't guarding it. Think of the times in your life when you feel like lonely, perhaps. You've got to look back to God's Word and see what God's Word says. His Word says, I will never leave you or forsake you. I'm always with you. Maybe it's something like you're feeling guilty and you just can't get over it. You don't feel like you're worth it. God says there's no condemnation, right? For those who love Him, I think like there's God's word is just, there's so much to it that you're just, it's like, why are we not always opening it? And God's promises are so valuable and true and faithful. You're just like, oh, like it's just, we have to have it in front of us. We have to read it all the time. I think we often allow people and circumstances to direct our lives. In that process, we make a mess of them. Let's take a look at a couple of people in the Bible that lacked self-control. I just thought of a couple, and I'm sure there's more, but in Judges, you know Samson. So Samson was the kind of the guy in the gym probably that was flexing his pecs looking in the mirror. I think he was kind of like a stud muffin, right? So he had some issues with some women, right? So he needed, God gave him this amazing strength. And with his task, he was supposed to protect the people, his God's people. And he was told to keep them away and him away from the Philistines, the pagan Philistines. But what did he do? That Delilah came along, and boy, did he have the hots for her. And so, I mean, he lacked self-control big time and ultimately lost his strength, lost his hair, and he lost his life. King Saul. King Saul has a funny, different way of lacking self-control. He was just completely hyper-focused on killing David. Why? Because perhaps David was more popular than him. Maybe he was jealous of him. But he was so hyper-focused, and all he wanted to do was, like, kill David. In Samuel as well, there's David that obviously lacks some self-control with some things. He liked his women, and he also committed adultery. So he lacked in self-control in certain areas. But I find it really interesting because he also had remarkable self-control when he had the ability to kill Saul, and he didn't. So that kind of like with us, like we can demonstrate self-control in one area of our life and kind of pride ourselves in it, and so the other areas we're really lacking, because, you know, we all do it. But I think the thing with all three of those guys is that they were focused on their desires, their feelings, and their impulses. Think of how many times in our life we do that. How many times do we focus on the here and the now? We get hyper-focused on just maybe a situation in our life, and we let some other things be really to the wayside because we just have a hard time surrendering that thing, whatever that thing might be, to God. Let's take a tiny other little look at like social media, because I think it is just kind of funny. Because if you ever watch Dr. Oz, he's always promoting like the best like diet pill. He's guaranteed. I can't even name half the vitamins or whatever that he always has on there. There's guaranteed to be the best diet magical pill that you're going to lose 10 pounds in a week. You know, and then you get on Yahoo and you see all these pop-up information, like things of like your best wrinkle cream that's going to lose 10 years off your life and then by tomorrow. Or the exercise equipment that's guaranteed to, for 5 minutes a day, you're going to transform your body. Like, some of it's just, like, it's seriously kind of funny, right? I mean, I think we can live, the social media world we live in can be so far from reality. It can be a source of, like, kind of living in a fantasy. Have you ever checked out somebody's Pinterest account? I think it's so cool because I think you post Pinterest, you post like all your favorites, right? You post all these things and it looks beautiful and I don't know how, but I think it's so cool. But I think that you probably could spend a lot of time doing that, right? And I wonder what it would look like if you maybe made one of those meals for your family that you posted on the Pinterest account. I mean, like, because I'm just like, that is amazing. It's beautiful. It's everything, you know, like everything, the crafts, the house, it's just cool. But, I mean, don't you feel like that sometimes? Like, social media is just it's so not reality. I think that, but, okay, so let's look at another scripture. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. So that is kind of scary. So it tells us we need to be alert, we need to be aware, we need to be ready to act on. I looked up the sober mind, and it says the state of sober mind is the mental condition that enables one to act wisely with clear vision for what's truly important. I think sometimes in your life, that you lack some self-control and you're able to be aware of it and know that it didn't turn out well. looking back, I think we can all realize that when we just try to rely on ourselves and our own strengths, it ends poorly. How many times have you also seen in your life when you let your guard down, the enemy will take advantage of those opportunities? The enemy wants to do whatever he can do to distract you from living a life to glorify God. That's exactly what Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart above all else, right? Because it actually is the course of our life. And guarding our heart and our mind is, I mean, so important. I know so many times in my life when I've needed, like, prayer or I've just been struggling with a situation, I've been asked, well, how's your prayer life? And are you reading God's Word daily? And it's like, I'm grateful for friends that have asked me that. Because it's really convicting. But, I mean, it's the kind of questions that you need to know. I mean, need to hear. Because lots of times, that's exactly it. We get consumed. We get hyper-focused on the one thing. And we forget to do the things that we're supposed to be doing. That God would want us to do. So, without self-control, the good works God has planned for us get crowded out. We can be robbed from the joy of seeing God work in and through us. Ephesians 5:15-16 says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best of every opportunity because the days are evil. So we need to walk carefully and redeem the time that God gives us. Take advantage of the opportunities that God puts in front of us. Sometimes it's really hard to wrap your mind or my mind around the life that I have been rescued from. God rescued me. He didn't have to, but he saved me. And I think that sometimes it's easy almost to forget that. And just like a father, he wants the best for his kids. You think, how much more does our Heavenly Father want the best for his daughters? The problem with lacking self-control is often not what we're doing is so bad. It's just that it's crowding out the truly good that God wants for us. The beautiful thing is God's grace is sufficient. God gives us his grace and mercy every day. I'm hoping this is encouraging for all of us that follow Christ. One day at a time to strive and have self-control in any situation that comes our way. God never promised our lives that they would be easy. But he did promise he would never leave us or forsake us, no matter what's going through, what we're going through. It will all be worth it. Jesus tells us that we will have tribulations in this world, but take heart. Why? Because he's overcome the world. So as we're filled with the Spirit of God, we are given the power to overcome whatever attacks the enemy might have. Not because we have control of ourselves, but because true self-control is a gift from above, produced in and through us by the Holy Spirit. We must remember, we will only have self-control when we let God have full control. The victory assured is in Christ alone. In the meantime, there is a race to be won. Let us be looking to Jesus that we may win the prize. Thank you, ladies.